Now, here's John Hanson, and let's get legal.
I think I'm going to enjoy our next guests when they come on the program. They're a real crew. It's the team from Theriault Booth. And the reason I struggle with that word, Ryan, and it's even more pronounced because your name is Ryan, is because there was a Cubs player in town years ago, Ryan Theriault. How often do you get that?
Well, quite regularly, and I used it to my advantage for many, many years to get the best tables in town at different restaurants and whatnot, and until my wife said we should probably change back.
Right. It's Ryan Theriault. So who are you guys? What do you do?
Well, thanks, John, for having us, first of all. And, you know, it's important to start at the beginning, obviously, with anything. We kind of wanted to present a 101 today. And in about the early 1900s, the Workers' Compensation Act was passed in Illinois, pursuant to a horrible, horrible coal mining accident out in Bureau County, Illinois. About 250 people died in that incident. And as a result, workers' compensation laws were formed in Illinois to protect workers from injuries they might sustain in the course of their employment. Who were we? Well, 100 years later now, we're attorneys who take that responsibility very seriously to represent those that are injured and make sure the laws that were passed to provide benefits to injured workers in those circumstances are protected. And with my partners Greg Booth and Jeff Theriault as well, we're here today to hopefully shed some light on that topic.
Greg, why is this important to you?
I think it's important to help out people that are hurt that don't have the knowledge or the ability to get the benefits that they need. And that's really what we do is help direct that and guide people, make sure that they're getting everything that they're entitled to. Work comp is a funny system. It's its own statute.
Funny is a good way to put it.
Yeah, funny.
Complicated, messy. Yes.
Absolutely.
Hard to navigate on your own.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we always say it's good to have our team in your corner from the beginning because we can help make sure it goes as smoothly as possible. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be things that come up that we need to navigate. And having, you know, proper representation and an attorney in your corner is absolutely going to make that easier for you.
For sure. And Jeff, you're the eye candy brother of the Theriaults?
That's me. That's why they brought me.
Are you the older or the younger brother?
What do you think? How many years older is he than I?
Don't make me do this live on air.
Is it more than five, would you say?
I don't know. I think you're twins. That's what I'm going to say to get
out of it. I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right, well, that concludes today's show. Thanks, John.
Brothers working together at a firm. That's fun.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's good. What is this? What does this matter to you? Well, I imagine you echoed the same sentiments these guys have had.
Yeah, a little bit different perspective, though. This is my encore career. I'm a retired police officer.
Oh, wow.
So because we, certainly in that industry, you know, officers are hurt all the time, it means a lot to me. Those are make up quite a few of our clients,
yeah. List.
Yeah. And we're from a working class family, so like I said, I'm retired from Northwest Suburban Police Department, and my two sons are first responders as well now too. So it's what runs
it's
through us.
Our,
yeah, brothers, police officers. Yeah. At one time, so we're really that's why it's really important to me.
Well, both my brothers are firefighters. My dad just retired as a fire chief. I don't know what I'm doing here, but that means a lot to me as well, and I'm glad you guys represent a lot of folks. Okay, why don't we put this out there now? 312-981-7200. We already have some texts coming in with questions. They can be specific questions. They can be generic questions about workers' comp, and these guys are going to do their best to answer it. If someone's running out of the car going, where's the best way for someone to reach you guys, Ryan, by the way?
You can reach us on at telephone 630-526-4242, or certainly reach us on the web at our website, tbfirm.com, T like Tom, B like Boy, firm.com.
tbfirm.com, and we say the number twice in radio, 630-526-4242. But we're just getting started. Got an entire hour with these guys till 3 o'clock. Coming up next on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. It's Let's Get Legal. We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Just getting to know the guys at Theriault Booth. Ryan, Greg, and Jeff. Ryan and Jeff are brothers. Still don't know who's older or younger. I'm not diving into that anymore, guys. That we're going to leave that for another day. And Jeff or Greg Booth, who makes up the Booth part of the firm. All right, we had a really interesting question, and this is someone that has actually texted in before. And actually, this texter is one of the reasons we wanted to make sure to get workers' comp here, because we have our employment lawyer Patrick Dolan, who is great. Doesn't know workers. He knows workers' comp stuff, but he doesn't handle workers' comp stuff. So this is a long text, but I think it underlies a lot of questions that I have, generally speaking, about workers' comp. So the 815 says, Long story short, I hurt myself in 2013, tearing ligaments, broke my ankle while I was on the job. Fast forward to today, or last year, July 2022, the insurance company at first claimed responsibility, but then they switched arbitrators, and now they want to fight it. I finally went to arbitration in July of 2022 to get a decision for surgery on my ankle, to get kind of some settlement on this case, which is much needed. I'm in agony every day. The arbitrator's not made a decision. They're writing the attorney to try and find out. The arbitrator doesn't have a staff. This is a lot of complicated things that I don't even think people realize are involved in workers' comp. Do you have like a answer to the immediate question that our texter has is, do arbitrators sometimes take a long time and it's annoying? Let's go with Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I don't know that I'll say annoying, but yeah, arbitrators do say do take a long time with some of these decisions. So that trial process and getting to hearing is often very difficult. It sometimes involves depositions of treating physicians or perhaps what we call a Section 12 examiner, but that's an independent medical examiner that the insurance company sends you to. Oftentimes, you have to take that person's deposition. And so the process of even getting to trial can be many, many months or even years.
This is an arbitration trial?
Arbitration trial.
Not in front of a judge. This is in front of an arbitrator.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah, in front of the arbitrator. And then once you've actually had the hearing, the arbitrator has typically 60 days to write that written decision. Oftentimes, because the system can be overloaded for a while during COVID, things were backed up tremendously. Even getting a hearing in person was difficult. So there has been some backlog. But typically, it's 60 to 90 days is expected. Some of them do go longer, especially if there's complicated issues and a lot of medical records. And so arbitrators will often complain and say, you want a decision in 2 months, but you just handed me 10,000 pages of records that I have to go through each page. That's going to take a little bit longer.
This texter's wondering, though, I messaged my attorney, what's going on? Who knows?
Correct. Who knows? And one thing to add to Greg's point about the arbitrators, they often work without staff, without assistance. And we're talking just on the limited information from this text, a situation where this person's ostensibly been treating for 9 years, almost 10 years of medical treatment. So you can imagine during that period of time, the volume of medical records the arbitrator would have to review just to come up with a decision in the person's favor or the employer's favor, whatever the case might be. We always recommend follow up with your attorney. If you're not getting answers, there's some databases you can look up the status of your case or whatnot, but you just keep contacting your attorney. That's where you need to get the answers. And if you don't get your answers, you always can reach out for another opinion.
Right. And I was going to say, this texter left their email. I'm certainly going to give the email to you guys. And that's a thing. Second opinions are important, whether you're going to the doctor, whether you're talking to lawyers. That sort of stuff matters. I want to wind this back now, because there's a lot in this. I'm shocked that something that happened in 2013 is still juggling its way through the system. So let's wind this back. In Illinois, if you work for a company, that company has workers' comp insurance, right? That's required by law, right?
There is. And everybody in the state of Illinois essentially is covered under the Illinois workers' compensation laws, except one particular or two particular groups. Firefighters and police officers in a municipality where the population exceeds 500,000.
They are not covered.
They are not covered. So that, at the moment, applies to one city, the one we're in currently, Chicago. And Chicago Police and Chicago Fire have an entirely different system of disability that applies to them. Everybody else in the state, workers' comp and their insurance carrier, will cover those injuries.
Jeff, I didn't know that. So Chicago Police, Chicago Fire, so they have protections in place, but they just have a different system of administering it. Am I understanding that right?
Right. They have a medical system. And it ties into their sick leave and all that type of thing as well. Right.
Right. So they're covered in certain respects, but it's just outside of the realm of what the workers' comp's law are in Illinois. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Is it only injuries that happen, like I'm thinking like physical injuries, you fall off the ladder, or things that are very obvious? But there's probably a lot of workers, or there's a lot of injuries that aren't so obvious, right?
There are a lot of injuries that aren't obvious, and recently we've been inundated with calls. One that might not be particularly obvious is COVID. You were in employment, perhaps in a first responder situation. We represent nurses, doctors, those in medical situations as well that contracted COVID, not so obvious, and the fallout from it, not so obvious, right? It's still emerging, the science and the medicine in that regard. And Greg can certainly speak to PTSD cases and some psychological
I was just going to ask that. It's more than just physical injuries, right, Greg?
Sure, yeah. There's physical injuries. There's also what we call mental injuries. that fall under the act. And those can be as a result of an injury you sustained physically. They can also be from seeing a shocking event. So we've had PTSD claims for people involved in deadly accidents, police-involved shootings. There's a variety of different PTSD or mental health claims that can exist. Assaults, attacks at work, you know, a nurse is in the hospital and they're attacked by someone, you know, violently. There's all kinds of different claims for that as well.
Right. But what is important, there are some mental injuries that are not covered by workers' comp, and that's like a situation where I don't get along with my coworkers, maybe like the people to my left here, but or I'm being harassed by my boss. What we would call typical office environment situation, for particularly psychological claims to bear fruit, you need something that's generally shocking in nature.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Those things, the harassment cases, are important. That's for Patrick Dolan.
That's last week. Yeah.
Last week. And that's I think what we're going to do is bring you all on one show, because I think y'all can handle all sorts of workplace questions. We'll schedule that for another time. Generally speaking, if I feel like I am hurt mentally and through PTSD, hurt physically on a job, what are the steps I should do first, Greg?
That's easy. Get medical treatment.
Okay.
Step number one, you have to get medical treatment, especially for a physical injury. I mean, if you tear something, you break something, you're probably going to the emergency room anyway.
Right.
But there's a lot of claims where people get hurt at work. They don't want to say something necessarily, or they don't want to get medical treatment.
They're being stubborn or whatever it is.
Sure. They think this is going to get better.
Yeah.
Or I'm a tough guy and I've hurt myself before. I'm going to give it a while. Well, a while turns into weeks and then it turns into months. And by the time you go get medical treatment, if you haven't reported that case and already sought care, the insurance company is going to deny it. They're going to say, if you were hurt, you would have gotten treatment already.
So when in doubt, go to the doctor, have them take a look, start that paper trail of something happened and I went to get help for it.
And actually reporting the injury is probably the first step. So when you get hurt at work, you need to report it. And oftentimes employers have an accident injury form that needs to be filled out. Keep in mind that some employers have rules that are different than what the Workers' Comp Act requires. So the Act requires 45 days. You must report the accident within 45 days. A lot of companies say it has to be reported within 24 hours. And that's just an internal rule that they have. But even if you don't report it within 24 hours, you still have a claim under the Workers' Comp Act.
Illinois law, right, okay.
So reporting, it's important, and it also documents what you were doing, what happened, when it was, if there's witnesses, that sort of thing. And then, obviously, if you are injured, you need to seek, you know, medical care for that.
For sure.
You know, one question that we're asked regularly is, I didn't realize I had injured my left arm till 60 days after.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't realize that my back would start hurting until 80 days after. It's clear to know it's a report of accident. You have to report the incident, not the injury. So when you have an incident at work, it's not run to your boss every time you bump a counter. But if you think something later might be significant enough to produce an injury you'll have to deal with, it's important to notify the employer.
Wait,
right away.
Can you explain that again? It's a notice of injury?
It's the notice of
accident,
a work accident, not the injury. So you're not charged with the medical knowledge of knowing, I need to know that I injured my humerus or I broke my leg or whatever it might be. You need to know that I fell off a conveyor belt, or I was working on a loading dock and injured myself.
What about repetitive injuries, though? That's different than one thing happened. Tell you what, we got a break for the news. Thank you, Iridian, and kind of for flagging me on that. We'll take a quick break for the news. We're going to talk more with the great folks at Therialt Booth, and they are at tbfirm.com, 630-526-4242, 630-526-4242. More after this. Time for the news on WGN. Back here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Having a good time meeting the guys from the, I always want to say Therialt. I got to stop doing
you can
that,
do
Ryan.
That. It's fine. Totally fine.
Therialt. Am I saying that right? You
it
say
is.
It, Ryan.
Therialt.
Oh, I had it there. Therialt.
Or Therio. Either way.
Ryan Therialt, Greg Booth, and Jeff Therialt joining us here today. We're talking about workers' comp. Okay, we had that texter talking about 9 years from 2013 to 2022 going through workers' comp claims. Greg, you were kind of breaking this down that what seems to be the case in this one, and we have limited details, and obviously, but these cases evolve over time, don't they?
Sure.
Okay, explain that.
So, you know, a typical case is going to go from your accident happening, getting medical care and going through medical care. And that's the initial part of any case dealing with an injury. At the end of your medical care, once you've been released by your doctor, a term in work comp is maximum medical improvement, which just means there's nothing else that can be done to help improve your condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point where your case is ready to be resolved, either through a settlement process or going to a hearing with the arbitrator.
Right.
So that whole process, in general, it depends on the injury, right? A back fusion is going to take longer to recover from than a carpal tunnel surgery.
Right.
But generally speaking, those cases are anywhere from, you know, a year and a half to two and a half years. That's a typical time frame to go from start to end.
So what the texter is saying is not that they, because I think the texter did say they were collecting on the insurance and et cetera, but they mentioned that they were going to have surgery. So when some new angle comes in, that's where maybe an insurance company may push back and say, well, let's take this to an arbitrator, or we don't think that's covered anymore.
Yeah, and I think the texter mentioned something about it was accepted at first and then later perhaps denied. And so if treatment is ongoing, a lot of times the insurance companies will have their doctor examine you and render opinions to say, yes, you do need this surgery, or they'll say, no, you don't need this surgery, or they'll say, you need the surgery, but it's no longer related to your initial injury
right.
from 10 years ago.
Okay, interesting. Let's actually even get more basic here, Ryan. What are you entitled to in workers' comp?
It's a fair question. One, element 101, yeah. Right? You're entitled to three things. Number one, your pay while you're off work.
Okay.
And that's a percentage of your earnings. But you're entitled to that pay continuation so you can continue to at least reasonably pay your bills and live your life. Number two, you're entitled to medical treatment, as Greg and Jeff have mentioned. I think the most important right within that is you have the right to treat with the doctors of your choosing.
Mm.
So that's really, really important. It's a sub 2.0, you know, under two. You have to pick the doctors you want. And it's always our goal to get our clients or work with doctors that are the best in their field to hope for the best recovery to get the person back to work as quick as possible. And then number three, you're entitled to a settlement if you have permanent injury under the Illinois law. A lot of employers will pay for the salary continuation and they'll pay the medical benefits, but kind of start to disappear a little bit on that last aspect. So that's sometimes where we can come in and help people that haven't recovered that last benefit.
So pay while you're hurt. Medical treatment by the doctors you want, and a settlement if it's a permanent injury. Those
Correct.
Are the three?
Those are the three.
Look at that. I'm learning, guys.
So
we should
easy.
Be taking notes, right? Exactly. 815 texted in, and we were talking about this during the break. I like my company. I don't feel very comfortable causing them harm because of something that happened at work. Are you suing the company? Or are you? Who are you suing? What is happening there? What's the mechanism?
It's a fantastic question. You can answer it very simply. In Illinois, you cannot sue your employer for a work injury, period. You can file a workers' compensation claim only. In employers are insulated from suit for negligence and things of that nature. The purpose of that is workers' compensation is intended to be a little swifter than the justice system moves in civil courts. So you're supposed to get these benefits quickly and timely in, rather than having to sue an employer. And we often remind people that these are claims that are insurable. So employers are charged with having insurance. Most people, if they had a health claim under their Blue Cross Blue Shield policy, wouldn't think twice about going in for an MRI or some other diagnostic testing or even surgery. And we say you should look at it the same way with this.
Is it unique in Illinois that you can't sue employers, or is that pretty standard?
Pretty standard that the workers' compensation laws that were passed operate in that manner. So while we love employers too, and many employers want to make certain their employees get these benefits, we would do the same if our employees are hurt. Hopefully they're not listening at the moment. No, just kidding.
Right. No, but if they're hurt,
but if they're hurt,
covered.
We want them to get the best treatment, to get paid while they're off work and get back to work so they can join us and be productive again. The problem is sometimes the employer's vision is disconnected from the insurance vision at times. So there's some interplay there.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Oh, go ahead.
You know, we see sometimes, too, that employers, Greg talked about how important it was to report that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies will have safety incentive programs and that type of thing. And whether it's in the group or individually, you get an award individually or with a group. So you don't want to be the guy reporting an injury when an accident, when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they withhold, and then there you go. Time goes by, and
you can't do it.
You're out of luck. Yeah,
right. Time is definitely of the essence. So, just to understand the point, is that you can't sue your. They don't want you suing the company. You're not allowed to sue the company over a workers' comp issue because that would take a long time in the judicial system. That would be a civil case, UV employee, and that would be done through normal civil court if it was allowed. Instead, we have a system that companies pay insurance. Claims go through this arbitration process that is handled more swiftly to be able to get money to people who need it when they're not working. Did I understand that?
That is. And I would just say the hope is it doesn't have to go through the arbitration process.
Okay.
The hope is that the insurance claim administers the claim as any other claim and provides those immediate medical benefits and provides that salary benefits.
So does it automatically go to an arbitrator?
No,
or anything?
I mean, it's assigned to an arbitrator, of course, but they're only there to serve as a referee if there's an issue or a problem.
So, Greg, are many cases, I fill this form out, it's backed up by evidence. It makes sense. Boom, bang, it's done.
Quite a few of them are, and probably more than half for sure. Go through that process. Again, there can be hiccups along the way that we kind of help guide people through. And then obviously in those situations, our job is to make sure that we maximize your recovery at the end and make sure you get everything you're entitled to for what that injury is. But occasionally there's cases that need to go, through that process. But I don't remember the exact statistic. But in workers' compensation, I would say at least 90% and probably closer to 95% of cases settle.
Okay. So in that line of what should you do first, obviously get medical care, make documentation of it. When do we call you guys? How early in the process would you guys prefer that?
So really the answer is any time in the process. Our job is easier, and like I said earlier, it's best when we're in your corner from the beginning because we're able to already have your medical records, know the history of what's going on. We follow up and make sure that you are attending all your medical visits, and we know the dates of those and getting those work status notes to make sure your benefits continue. So having counsel in the beginning really makes sure that everything goes smoothly. But we've gotten calls from people, like Ryan said, they're done with their case. They've got the medical treatment. They got paid while they're off. They're back to work, and they say, hey, wait a second. Wasn't I supposed to get a settlement here? You were, and they can hire us at that point too. So really any time during the case. But if it starts going where something's being denied or they're not approving treatment, you need an attorney right away.
Yeah, that's the thing. The attorney can kind of hold your hand through a process and maybe it goes off without a hitch and it all works out great and you have that person as your right-hand man or woman, or it's hairy. It's hard, and you already have that person who's been along with you for the ride. We're going to take a break. Let's set up what we're going to talk about in the next segment. 312-981-7200. We're getting some questions. I'd love to get some listener questions, too. We're going to run out of time, guys. Therialt and Booth, tbfirm.com, 630-526-4242. That's 630-526-4242. More after this on WGN. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Therialt and Booth. Is it Therialt Booth or Therialt Booth, just like, or and Booth?
There's no and.
There's no ampersand?
No.
Okay, just Therialt Booth.
Well, there's a line in the middle. I don't know how you would say that, though. Yeah.
Okay, talking with the guys at Therialt Booth. Okay, we're talking about workers' comp. Couple quick ones. The 847 wants to know, Greg, do you handle people or help people out that are Spanish-speaking?
We do. Actually, I speak Spanish. I majored in Spanish in college.
Oh, cool.
So, yes, I speak Spanish myself, and we have a lot of Hispanic clients that we help out.
Great. 847. The number is 630-526-4242. 773. What about letter carriers? You talked about, just to set this up, people seeing or experiencing traumatic events at work, they can be covered with workers' comp, right? Am I understanding that correct?
Correct.
Okay. What about letter carriers getting robbed at gunpoint? My coworker said he couldn't file for workman's comp.
So that would be a work comp claim if they were anything but a letter carrier. So they are federal employees and not covered under the Illinois Workers' Compensation Act.
Okay, so they have their own system.
They have a federal workers' compensation claim, and there's attorneys all throughout the country that can handle those essentially in any state.
Okay, this is an interesting question on the text line, which is always a little more difficult to walk through. But here we go. My son was a printing industry employee, had stress on hands, arms, and neck from handling paper. He had extensive medical care, including surgery. He did not file workers' comp, but he received short-term and then long-term disability, which runs out in a few weeks. he could still not do the same work he did for many years. Is he eligible to file workers' comp claims? Who wants to take that one?
I'll take that. So it's interesting. The first question is, how long do you have to file a workers' compensation claim? Because that's what that essentially raises. And in Illinois, you have 3 years from the date of accident to do so. There are some rare exceptions to that. But if you do not file from the 3 years from the date of accident, you're forever barred from doing so. So if you're within that period, the question is, yeah, you may have a claim. There's a couple of other factors that are raised, more complex.
But just if you've had short-term disability or full-term, that doesn't exclude you.
No, it doesn't exclude you. There may be reimbursement provisions. If you've been paid benefits from another source and you start to receive or later receive workers' compensation benefits, the disability carrier may be entitled to recover those benefits. But that would be kind of a fact-specific situation according to the policy.
224, call 630-526-4242. Why do I need a lawyer if some things are open and shut? Why would I need you guys? What would be a reason?
Well, as we've mentioned all along, we can help shepherd through this process. There's hiccups all along the way. There's problems that can arise, ranging from my surgery's not approved, my therapy's not approved, or I didn't receive my check this week.
What if I get to a situation where I do need a lawyer at the end? Is one assigned to me?
Well, if you do not obtain your own lawyer, in Illinois, to settle your workers' compensation claim for any portion of a permanent disability settlement, you need a lawyer. If you do not hire one yourself, you will be represented by the lawyer representing your employer as well, or the insurance company.
Oh, wait. They have the company's lawyer, or the insurance company's lawyer is now my lawyer.
Correct. Most of our clients have that same reaction you just did, that they're a bit surprised to know that if they don't hire their own lawyer, that they, one, have to have one to settle it, and number two, that the employer's or insurance company's lawyer will be looking out for both parties.
All right. Can you guys put on your headphones? We do have one caller. Lynn's got a question. It's a little complicated, Lynn. Can you sum it up in 30 seconds for us, Lynn? Hey, Lynn.
Yes. My question would be, I have a pending workers' compensation claim. Originally, I had two insurance adjusters on my claim. For some reason, they were taken off of my claim, and an attorney was basically going against me. This attorney lied back. It's a couple years ago.
Okay.
So he basically lied, and then I recently had a hearing, and he lied again to the arbitrator. So my question would be, who would I contact? Because I obviously can't go pro se with my claim trying to fight fraud, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so that would be my question.
Any thoughts on that one, Ryan?
You know, each of these claims are fact specific, and you make some allegations that there's things that were improperly handled or fraud, and that would really need to be looked at on an individual basis more than just kind of general commentary. Happy to talk to you about that if you wanted to give us a call.
Yeah, Lynn, you got their number?
No, I don't.
All right, let me get it for you. You got a pen and paper?
Yes.
Okay, it's 630-526-4242. You got that?
Yes.
All right. Get that call on Monday, right? We don't want to make you guys work today or tomorrow. Do Monday.
I mean, we're always available, of course, but that might require a little more time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. One thing I wanted to leave before we left. I know we got a couple things to get to here. We'll try and do as much as we can. Jeff, you're a former police officer. And obviously you're working here, you do some other things. I was so curious. I was like, oh, are you also a lawyer because you're working here at this firm? You went to law school while you were a police officer?
Yes.
How?
I went to John Marshall Law School, which was a night program. So I went 4 nights a week for 3.5 years. I went to summers. I went when they had the spring break for the school, they would have accelerated programs and that. So I got it done in 3.5 years. So I did it by not sleeping too much
there
over
you
a period
go.
Of time. But
it's a long way of saying if you're a firefighter, if you're a police officer, you've got someone on the team who knows that inside and out at Theriel Booth. So 630-526-4242. All right, we got like a minute and a half left. Ryan, I know you wanted to mention we were obviously powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. You have some news on that front too, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm honored to, I just have 2 days ago, be appointed president of the Illinois Bar Foundation. And the Illinois Bar Foundation is the charitable arm of the ISBA. We raise monies and distribute grants to all sorts of areas that require access to justice or need access to justice issues and lawyers in need. And it's a really important part of what the ISBA does. And we appreciate the partnership you have with the ISBA and thought that would be worth mentioning.
That's great stuff. Ryan, Greg, Jeff, it was great to meet you all. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
630-526-4242. Remember that number, tbfirm.com for Theriault Booth.